I'm in studio with Danielle Bonner, who's Donegal Project Coordinator with the Women's Collective Ireland. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you keeping?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you for inviting us back, because I was here in December publicising the survey, and now I'm back. Seven months later,
yeah.
To talk about the findings. Because I remember the day I was here, I had my Christmas jumper on, and you forgot it was Christmas jumper.
That's
so, and then
correct.
I heard you say, and then you were one the next day. But yeah, so that I'm is. Keeping well, busy as ever. But we're in summer break now, so this is my last day working until September. But
well done, well you deserve it. You deserve it. So remind listeners the shout out was in December. What were you looking for?
Yeah, we were doing. We wanted to do a needs assessment of what women wanted in the community, essentially. So we asked a series of questions around health, what they thought was missing in the community for women, and their experience of gender inequality. So we wanted to sort of gauge all those things that we could do so we could plan. So we're already responding to some of them already. And then also share those with the wider community, because we know Donegal's a massive county, and the community sector actually is really big, and we can't do everything. But if we can share that information with the rest of the community, they can also then respond in their local areas. So we had, I think at the time we had 540 women, but we actually ended up total 572 women took part in the survey. So we were really blown away, and we were delighted with that response.
Did you find, and we'll go through some of the findings, but did anything in it surprise you in terms of, you know, the services you're providing, how you're providing them, you know, did anything blow your face off, like in terms of a trend or something that you didn't see going, or a direction that you really need to sort of start going in off the back of this?
For us, no.
I was thinking it probably wouldn't be, yeah.
Because it's sort of like, we work, obviously, anyone who works, you work with the people, so you sort of know, you get a feeling of what's there. But for obviously us, we wanted to have that data to back up what we were sort of picking up in the community. Like, we know that the mental health issues were always going to be there. Like, we did research over COVID and mental health was an issue, and we see it within the courses and the conversations we have with women. The gender equality question never ceases to amaze me. I think just under half said that.
What does that look like, gender equality? You know what I mean? The discrepancies there?
So we gave them a definition. I can't read the definition. It's in the report for what gender equality actually means. And so we had about just under half said that they gave examples of directly experiencing gender equality. So that could be within the home, sort of like, well, I'd say the not conversations before we have relationships of how the family structure is going to look like.
What might be seen as, say, old-fashioned roles, for an example.
Yeah, and I think sometimes
they're perfectly fine. Each individual is fine, right? But obviously, you know, if a woman in that space, she probably thought her life might be a little bit different. For others, it might be perfectly fine.
But it's not even that, though, Greg. It's like, we could just assume that we're going to have a relationship and that's how it's going to work out. But then it doesn't happen that way because we have maybe those unconscious viewpoints. And I suppose it's you can have it, say you have an equal partnership, but then if your child is sick, who's going to take the time off work? If the child is sick and the school phones one of the parents, who's the parent likely to be? It's likely to be the mother. So that's just a small example. And then so you had care responsibilities. Then you also had issues around employment and promotions. We also had issues around lack of representation, obviously. The political representation is a massive issue, and then also healthcare as well, lack of access to services and the delay in services as well, and the issue around, actually, I know it is a good thing, but at the same time, that the free contraception only to 35, and I think one of the lines was, what do they think, that people don't have sex after 35?
They're just a couple of
issues.
Loneliness is an interesting one, because we I think we have this preconceived notion of loneliness or isolation and who it might apply to. And we should never have that, really. I'd be interested to tease out what loneliness in this cohort looks like or sounds like.
I think it's sometimes that, obviously, we can't forget the last 5 years. And I think that added to things. So like things like some women's groups never came back after COVID.
Could you just move slightly behind that mic?
So something that you might be had something every week you go to doesn't exist anymore. Yeah. And that could have been the social contact that you had. And I suppose socialisation has always been in our community, because I never forget years and years ago, Venuna Brenner, my predecessor, she told me a story about, actually it was a lady actually up this way, and she used to go to a shop every week to get matches, and they like would just pop in there. And God love her, when she died, they went to the house and there was matches everywhere, because that was her connection to somebody every week. Mm. And I suppose if you look at that from like a community point of view, that if those groups aren't there anymore, or you don't have transportation to come into like a town or something, that then increases the socialisation and the way we communicate as well.
Yeah, the less we socialise, we kind of adapt. Women expressing a need for safe women-only community spaces. What's that?
Someone asked me this question last week. I was on Ocean FM. Yeah.
Well, that's a joke. It's a joke. No, I'm joking, Niall.
And we talk. So we are part of a national women's organisation, the 17 of us. And so obviously we are only work with women. So we create those spaces for women. So the courses that we offer, I've talked about the plumbing and the DIY, the crafting workshops that we do. So those are women-only spaces that women come together for a bit of them time, connecting with other women, because we see that all the time, women meeting other women. In fact, one of our DIY courses, a woman had only been in Donegal town for a year, she didn't know anybody, and now she does yoga and stuff. I saw her in Audi the other day, you know, and I was just chatting to her.
So, or was it Lidl?
Well, one of them, I don't remember. You know, so connecting with other women in those spaces, and then also having the confidence, because this came up when we started doing the plumbing, that, and even Gary, our trainer, said that he used to do mixed groups, and he saw, and this is like, it can be unintentionally, that women felt intimidated to ask questions.
Yeah, of course.
You know,
yeah.
And so that's the whole point. And we even have research around like single-sex schools, that girls do better in single-sex schools than a mixed school.
But see, sometimes we think, and this is not the work that you guys are doing, sometimes we think we're doing the right thing, or this is what people will want, and then you survey people and you find out, actually, no, this is what they prefer. And that's why
polling
people is so important.
You know, because we didn't want to just like put stuff out there without it actually being what people actually want. So like obviously we have a whole list of, I mean, we knew the skills of DIY and plumbing was top, and then crafting was there, and also cooking as well,
that kind of also ties into the presumption of people's role. Now there's an awful lot of people as well too who are single parents and they don't want to constantly ask someone to come in to put up a curtain rail or what have you, but also this presumption that you put the dinner on and I'll put the cabinet together. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
now, I'm not, again, that might suit some people, but for some, maybe it's presumed to be
the option. And I think I always said like gender equality, because I fell into the work of gender equality. It was never stuff that I always did. Mm. And I never even thought about it. And this is why, unless you have that conversation, you don't really think about it. And when you have that conversation, I always say I found my gender lens that I can't ever get rid of now.
Yeah.
You know, you start to see the sort of the issues there. You know, men, there's issues for men, but obviously we just work with women and we know there are large issues. And I should say as well, when people say gender equality, they go, oh, but we got rights and we have this, and always compare us to other countries. You should never compare yourself to another country. We deal with the issues that we have in our own community.
I also feel that sometimes, you know, for some of the people, I don't know what it would be out of the 572, that it might have been a cathartic process to some extent, because I wonder how many were putting down on paper, so to speak, how they were feeling, you know, for the first time, that this was their outlet, that this was their opportunity to sit down and assess their life, their space in it, and get it out there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that's one of the things that we said. We wanted to create the space for people to say how they feel, because one of the questions we asked was, what do they think is missing in Donegal? Mm. You know, and I suppose, has anyone, if you ask someone, have they ever been asked that question, they could probably say no. You know, and so that was the opportunity for women to have their voices heard, because that's part of our work that we do, is to, you know, highlight the voices and the views of women in our community.
And it must be said too, 572 is a massive poll sample for a county of this size.
Yeah.
It really is, because, you know, you might get a front page political opinion poll for the whole country. and it's less than double of that.
Well, yeah.
So actually, 572 really is very reflective.
Yeah, I was proud of our, proud because there's only three of us, and I was proud of that because we actually, I went to an event actually with the, one of the government departments that came up to Donegal Town, and they told us about research they were doing, and they'd obviously paid a cut consultancy, and I think they only had 1,000. That was a, that was countrywide.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, we were countywide and got 500. So, so yeah, I'm delighted, and I'm really proud of the women that took part in that as well.
So this information is very important for the Women's Collective Ireland project, right, Donegal? But it's also useful beyond that, right? So how can you maybe feed this information into our male-dominated council, for an example?
Well, they will be getting an email.
Do you get where I'm coming
from? Yes, they will be getting an email from us with a copy of the report. You know, and we've analysed the data, we've broken it down quite simply as well. It's not highfalutin or anything. And then there's like conclusions and there's recommendations. We've kept the recommendations quite clear and precise. You know, obviously for us, funding's a major issue. Like, we're core funding in terms of having the office. Like, we have a physical office in Donegal Town, although we work countywide.
Yeah.
You know, so that's paid for. And, like, obviously for us as staff members. But outside of that, no, we don't have any programme costs, you know, unless we liaise with ETB or IDP or English Own Development Partnership.
Yeah, and what I like to do, if I don't care if it's one or I'd love if it was 100, but is to connect some of the women that we're talking about today to what some of the stuff that you guys are doing, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes part of loneliness or isolation or mental health challenges is not seeing maybe what could be there around you.
And that's another thing that we're doing. So we have, so we've got our autumn programme will start sort of mid-September. We've got a whole DIYs back on, plumbing's back on, cooking's back on, the monthly crafting. We're doing in Moville this
I'm
year.
I'm thinking of all these things I can sneak into.
You know, so we have a community leadership programme happening in Finn Valley in the FRC there. So I actually will be after any of those local county councillors to come along to talk to those women as part of that leadership programme as well. And there are other stuff that we're hoping. We haven't got funding quite approved yet for the other stuff that we're adding into that. We're doing other stuff during the year as well. We're doing coffee mornings around Breast Cancer Awareness
Month. And of course,
in October.
You know, keep us in the loop, Danielle, because that collective of listeners is very important.
Yeah.
And we reach an awful lot, perhaps more women than men on this programme, such as The Nature. So obviously we work together and keep doing so.
Yeah.
Because
as I
say,
as well,
I want lots of people to be engaged with you.
We have, if you want to be added to, we have a mailing list. We have a massive mailing list. That's how we contact the women. So if you want to be on our mailing list, if you send us an email at donegal@womenscollective.ie with your name and the area that you, when I say area, you're the multidisciplinary area that you live in, we'll add you to the list.
I'm in the Glenties area, I'm in the
exactly.
area, I'm in Letterkenny
we will
area.
Email you out
Thank you.
The autumn programme, and it's a sign up list, so we're sort of going off now. There's a link that you can fill in your details and we'll come back to you when we're back.
Yeah, for sure. So don't expect an instant reply.
No.
But that'll be Danielle and the team's work, and it's a small team and they're doing great stuff as soon as they have their well-deserved break. We're going to share that email address on our Facebook page as well. Just log on to it, right? Send them an email. And the worst can happen is you'll get an email back just saying the kind of stuff that's going on in your area. And it's incredibly accessible by design. And fair play to all of the women who took part in this study. And as I say, you know, fair play to Joy and Dakota and the others plugging away on Donegal County Council. But I think it's really important too that the majority were men and the executive take on board some of these findings too, because it's a very strong sample of the life of a woman in County Donegal.
Yes.
Danielle, thank you as always for calling up. That's Danielle Bonner, Donegal Project Coordinator. We're going to retain that email address here, by the way. Donegal Project Coordinator with Women's Collective Ireland. We're going to retain that email and that info. Get involved. Get out and see it. Join one of their courses or attend one of the coffee mornings. Get out and meet people because you'll meet people who are very similar to you and build connections and stuff. All right, we'll be back with more after we take a break. Thanks once again to Danielle for calling in. Right, on this morning's wellness programme, we speak to Gavin Meenan, Ireland's number one men's empowerment coach. Good to have you in studio. Thanks so much for joining us, Gavin. How are you keeping?
Very well, Greg. Thank you for having me.
All right, okay. So you're from Donegal, but based in Sligo now.
Correct.
And talk to me about your career and your career path to how we got to where we are today.
How long do we have? So it started through redundancy back in 2011, shortly after my daughter was born, and over the span of a year or so, and jobless, and I was fired from a couple of other jobs, I eventually began a personal training business, and that was the beginning of this journey that I'm still on.
When you went into personal training post redundancy, was that a huge pivot, or were you, you know, looking after yourself, you know, really quite positive in the way you were thinking? Because you had a tricky enough childhood, as many of us had. But I mean, by the time you got into that space, had there been already a lot of personal growth?
Not necessarily. The personal growth happened through the personal training, as I was beginning to learn more about myself through the clients that I was helping. Mm. And because throughout that process as well, I had a pretty serious porn addiction. And that was something that had been perhaps a weight that I was carrying for a long time in my life, something I used to numb out a pain.
What is a porn addiction? Is it like just watching pornography a lot? Is it almost being dependent on it? Or is it almost like your relationship? Or I suppose it's like alcoholism. It's subjective, right? But I mean, is it that it was dominating your life, or you couldn't live without it, or what?
Yeah, it was this attachment and necessity to escape reality into fantasy. Mm. And the porn addiction or watching porn is one thing, but then once you start to venture into webcam chat rooms, it takes on a whole other realm. And that was my life for a period of time. And I was building this personal training business, but the personal training business as well was an attachment. It was a way to find validation, a way to feel valued as a man. And those two things were in tandem with each other. So there was the growth of the business, but then there was also the underlying shadows that I was keeping hidden from the world and hidden from life.
Were you conscious that that's what you were doing at the time, or on reflection when the penny dropped? Did you just think, this is what all guys do? I'm just a regular red-blooded male, blah, 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 blah.
I wasn't thinking. That was the thing. I was...
So in other words, it was just, it seemed almost normal until such time as you realised, wow, okay, this is abnormal.
Well, I always knew that it wasn't normal because it was all very consuming, and it was the terror of being alone with myself, and especially during that year where I was ultimately jobless, there was a lot of time with myself, and first time in my life that I had no distraction or had no attachment to feel valued as a man. I started to find value in something that was quite destructive over a period of time. And
that all came to a head with a leak.
It was a few years afterwards, and things were going quite well. The relationship was pretty good. The business was running and was well established. And then all of a sudden you get one of these phone calls from a friend that doesn't usually call. And there was footage of me in that webcam chat room being circulated around the town at the time. And that was a crushing experience. And it had to crush a part of me. Because
were you the subject of it? Were other people joining to see you?
It was, yeah, right, yeah. Okay. So instead of watching performers...
That's a lot to deal with. How did you cope with that? How low was the low?
The low was
pretty low. There's a lot of stuff
low.
Come at you then. It's not just maybe shame or whatever you might feel. I'm not putting emotions into your head. But then what happens is the avalanche of your porn addiction and everything starts coming down, relationships and its implications on that, what your family might think. You know, it is a catalyst for an awful lot, and it would take a lot to sort of work your way through that, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it did take a lot. And it was the first time, though, that I began to become... I became truly honest with myself.
Was it a rebirth then? Sort of a reset or sort of chapter two or...
Well, this was something that was hidden from my life for a long time, something that I kept secret, obviously something I felt very shameful about. But then when it's exposed, there is a sense of liberation that comes with that truth, because the truth is out there. So I have nothing more to hide, and I was ultimately left with the decision whether, okay, do I allow this experience to use me, and I'm going to run away, I'm going to move country, I'm going to just flee this place so I don't have to face
the humiliation. You know, you weren't doing anything illegal, and for a lot of people nowadays, especially with the advent of OnlyFans and what have you, you know, using what God gave you is, you know, some people, it's their entire career, and there's no shame in it. In fact, there's pride. So obviously, it hit you in a different way. That's not really the way you wanted your life to go.
Yeah, but when you're in a committed relationship, that's another.
I wasn't aware that the brother wasn't aware.
Okay, so yeah. That you know, that's also
the rug's pulled
exposed
from everybody.
Yeah, true.
Rug's so pulled from under everybody. So how do you then turn? And I mean, listen, we could talk for an 8-hour a podcast in relation to this, Gavin, but neither you or me have the time this morning. How do you turn that then into a positive? Like how long you were in the low before you sort of start saying, right, you know what? I've learned an awful lot about myself, where I was at, what I was addicted to. I can help myself. I know I can help others because I've already been doing it. And this can be, you know, another layer on my positive coping. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was the pivot where I was a personal trainer, online coach. This all happened. And the decision was to actually use this experience to help others. So that became an inspiration for me then to share my story, to talk about my struggles, to open up more on social media. And by doing so, it dissolved the barriers for other men who are hiding behind this barrier of shame in relation to their addictions or problems or struggles in life. And 18 months later, I'd written a best-selling book. And so I took that experience and I took the energy from that and I transferred into the work. That also probably became a certain escapism as well to a certain extent. You know, there's still issues there that had to be addressed, but I was still running away into these areas. It gave me a sense of purpose, but I also had to obviously repair the relationship and heal parts of myself that were exposed to this through this experience, which of course continues till today.
Yeah. And you can't bluff that. But, no. You know, people around you, they need to see that this is real because they're going to say, right, I'm going to reinvest in you here. You know, it has to be a change, right?
Yes.
So the thing that, I mean, like, I think it's very important that we have men who are strong men, right, and are in that defined role. I would imagine this is a space potentially whereby you're meandering it, afraid of stepping on a landmine, that next thing you know, people are tating at you, or next thing you know, you're being misogynistic, or next thing you know, you're not. Is there any of that correct in that, you know, when we talk about, you know, raising strong men, there's no shame in that, right? Because sometimes, sometimes you feel like you can't really talk about that. Can't talk about that because it feels like, you know, there's some really nasty people in that space. I don't know. I'm not judging anyone because that's not much for me. But I'm just curious as to how you sort of sell this philosophy with avoiding being cancelled or something along those lines.
Yeah, I understand. The perception that's changed over the years as I've began to, of course, discover myself all the more. And the definition of what it means to be a strong man, I believe, is changing in the world today as well. I put up a video there a few days ago of one of the guys after the retreat, and he was sharing some part of his experience about the retreat, and he actually broke down and started crying. And you know, that is real courage, I feel, for men to actually face up to the truth of who they are and to realize that we've been running away and escaping parts of ourselves that we feel ashamed about. And for the first time, looking at yourself in the mirror and realizing that this is what's real, this is what's pain, this is what the struggle is, and to work through that. So yes, strong man, go to the gym, work out, look after yourself, defend and protect others, all that, yes. But then the strong man is also the ability to go within and to tap into the truth of that incredible power you have within.
Like, I think you have a really important role in influencing young men, personally speaking, right? And I wish there were more people like you, because the antidote to ultra, you know, man stuff is often something completely on the other side of the spectrum. Mm. Okay, whereas you're occupying a space that is it feels real, okay? So you can look after yourself. You can appear strong, but at the same time, being sensitive or caring for others is not a weakness, if True. That makes sense. Yeah. And you can be a strong man, okay, but you're not a certain dominance over a woman, for an example.
Mm-hmm.
Do you course. Know what I mean? So you can be a strong male person, but that doesn't mean you're better than a woman. And I think that's the sweet spot.
Yeah,
whereas we can be men, but it doesn't mean that we're trying to assert some sort of a dominance.
Of course.
Okay, so we can stand up for ourselves if someone squares up to us, but we don't have to go out and be thuggish or flex every time someone looks at us sideways. You know, that's the space where I think lads who want to be like that need to be getting into.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does, for sure. I mean, that if you don't feel valued and loved within, then you're going to try to find this outside of yourself, and the sense of feeling valued through the fight, feeling valued through dominating a woman, feeling valued through being one of the lads, or being, again, feeling valued through pushing and pursuing and grinding and hustling.
Like, sometimes, you know, like, we might interview a woman who's the victim of domestic abuse, and then a fellow will message in and go, well, men are victims of domestic abuse as well. And I go, I sort of sometimes have to lean back in my chair and go, of course, that is the case. But this is this woman's story. And it's clear she's not talking about all men. She's talking about that one man in her life. And it might lead to a distrust of men, right? But then men get all defensive and think it's all about them, or all men are the same. You know, and I wonder, that's a terrible insecurity, isn't it? I mean, it's very clear that this woman is talking about a man in her life. Why are you feeling defensive? I think that's a sign that someone needs a bit of work on themselves.
Of course, yeah. I mean, it provokes that insecurity that they have within.
Yeah.
And this is a woman who's actually...
Because they're hearing someone talking to them and they're not talking to you.
Yeah,
maybe you can.
Yeah, true. Yeah. But the woman's also stepping into her power, and she's speaking her truth and telling her story. Mm. And to be faced with a powerful woman is something that a lot of men also feel quite insecure about. But again, it provokes this lack of power or strength that they feel within. So... again, you know, the toxic masculinity is to use women in order to feel empowered as a man, instead of you knowing that you have the power, and that power is to be shared, and that power of love is to be given to others. So this is the journey of going within, instead of trying to use others or take advantage of others in order for you to feel significant and valued as a man. And, you know, that's been the journey. It's turn it inwards instead of projecting outwards, and understand that everything that you're experiencing in your life is nothing more than a reflection of you. And if a woman is stepping up to you and she's being critical of your behaviors or actions in the house, well, understand that this is a message. This is something worth taking on board, because she is bringing something up in you for you to work on. She wants you to become better. But if you simply project that back onto her, then it's an insecurity. Yeah. It's a pain that's being provoked there. And we play the victim in that dynamic.
Yeah.
And we blame others for our situation instead of taking ownership for what's coming up for us. That's the hard work. You know, it's much easier to project than it is to reflect. Because when somebody says something and we feel uncomfortable about it, then we blame them for making us feel a certain way. There's nothing true in that, and there's nothing to be gained from that pursuit, other than you feeling momentarily empowered because you've projected your anger back towards others.
That's something you can patch up, but it's not sustainable. How do you reach people? Obviously, you're very active, Gavin, on social media. I know you do one-on-one stuff, just in case anyone's listening, we'll direct them in the direction of your socials. Do you do group classes, or what way do you sort of engage with people?
Yeah, so during the week, it's one-to-one with men. Men, again, it's creating this safe space for men to express their struggles and difficulties, and to obviously guide them back to themselves, ultimately, instead of trying to find, as I said, their value in others or an experience outside of themselves. So the one-to-one work is quite significant. But then I've also started doing these men's retreats once every month for a weekend. And that's been incredibly powerful as well, to bring a group of men together who are open and willing to share and go through these battles together is incredibly powerful. So, and you'll feel inspired by others who are on the same journey as you. And there's a collective power that's established over those weekends that you then take with you into the work that you continue doing afterwards. So the weekends, yeah, that's been pretty powerful. And the one to one, of course, is with me on a weekly basis.
Yeah, okay. So how do people get more info? Where's what do people look for on the socials, Gavin?
Gavin Meenan, everywhere.
Simple as that, Gavin Meenan. All right, listen, it's been great having you on. Do you do a lot of public speaking as well? Or I suppose you're very busy with your own stuff.
Been on a lot of podcasts, if you include that as public speaking.
It's how you reach the masses, isn't it? Mm. You know, mm-hmm. Either a room of 200 people or, you know, an audience of 10,000 on a pod. Brilliant stuff, Gavin. Is there anything you want to add just before we wrap up?
No, just thank you for listening. And if something in this has resonated with you, then feel free to share or reach out to me.
All right, okay. Listen, thanks so much. That's Gavin Meenan there, Ireland's number one men's empowerment coach. You can go on your socials, check out Gavin Meenan, M-E-E-N-A-N, originally from Gordhawk, now based in Sligo. All his information's there. Back with more shortly. All right, from one beefcake to another. Good morning. Good morning, Chris. How are you getting on?
Good morning,
that's
Greg.
A compliment.
Yes, thank you.
Wow, you look all discombobulated. What's going on?
Yes, I'm frazzled.
Are you frazzled? No, how is life? How are you keeping?
All is good. All is good. Yes.
Excellent stuff. Right, let's talk some business news because we will be previewing the Business Matters podcast, which is live very shortly. But there is a hotel on the market. Is that right?
Well, it's a former hotel. Some listeners will be aware of it. Fort Royal in Rathmullen. Rathmullen House Hotel is almost next door. And Fort Royal Hotel, it was a hotel till some years ago. It's back on the market. It has changed hands a few times over the years. What I think is particularly striking for those who are familiar with Rathmullen.
It has its own train?
Does have its own train, but it has.
If something's striking for you, it's got a train.
It's right on the beachfront, access to the lovely beach down there. It has 19 bedrooms, substantial property. There's a number of, they're called the Soldier's Cottages. There's three of them. They were in the past let out for people staying in the area, so they can be maybe upgraded and converted again. There's also a separate site beside it, which is for sale as well. But the asking price, now when you consider the cost of building these days, and we're hearing about, you know, $500,000 goes pretty quickly building a house. The asking price, and then it's going to be very interesting to see what it actually gets. The asking price is $1.6 million.
Wow, okay.
Now, this is
you probably need another $10 million, not to actually spend on it, but just for the upkeep or whatever it might be.
It could do with a little bit of work on it, but according to the selling agents, Savills are one of them. It is in very good condition. Yeah. And for somebody to take over a luxury resort, it could be a retreat, lots of potential uses. It'll be very interesting to see just what happens.
Surprise me in this county. We were in Dunloe at the weekend for the Mary from Dunloe. We went into Sweeney's Hotel after the Crown and Cabaret, and it's like a TARDIS what Pat and his team have done down there. It's this sort of like... It's significant building at the front, and they've went in and they've just created this luxurious hotel, you know, and similar happened in Carrigart as well, saving these buildings from being turned into something else, into amazing amazing facilities. So it's just going to take someone with that vision and to go in there and create something absolutely huge, or partition it out or whatever it might be. Okay, fantastic. So 1.6 mil, if you've got that, you might get it for 1.5. I don't know. Put a bid in. Who's to say?
That would buy you a decent house in a decent part of Dublin. You know, it's amazing.
That's where we're at. Here's a plan. There's a plan to convert Garda stations into offices and other things, but I've got a suggestion. Let's convert Garda stations into freaking Garda stations and have a guard in there. How about that?
Yeah.
Is that a plan?
It's not the plan, but it would be a plan.
No.
Well, it mightn't happen in the location I'm talking about because they already have a Garda station there.
All right, okay.
So two Garda stations in the one town.
Let's not get greedy, sunshine.
Okay, this is a plan, and it's part of a bigger plan, the Buncrana regeneration plans. Now, Donegal County Council is just embarking on what's called a public consultation process. So you can put forward your own views to the council. They are developing, it's called Re-Empowering Buncrana, an area down by the shorefront, part of which is the former Garda barracks in Buncrana, and the plan is essentially to convert it into office space. And if you go through Buncrana, well, this will now be state-of-the-art modern office space, so the hope will be it's
so it's part of the wider shorefront redevelopment. Okay,
yeah.
Brilliant.
So,
yeah, it'd be great if that was a facility that came into public benefit use, whether it's public use directly or into, you know, offices or whatever it might be.
Yeah, and like the barracks is just lying there and has been for some while because there is the new Garda station, well, it's not new anymore, not so far away in Buncrana. And even during the construction phase, there will be that spin-off creating the job. So that's that's good to see. And that there's the process will take a few weeks. It'll go to what's called a Part 8, and all the indications are that the councillors will rubber stamp it, and that will start proceeding relatively soon.
Any dates for our diary, Chris?
Just a couple. One of them, don't like to get embroiled in the whole Trump and tariffs things, but the local enterprise office
is... Well, you've got the wrong podcast.
...is... They're hosting a Market Explorer. Well, there's a thing called the Market Explorer Grant. So if you're in exporting to the States, and obviously there's a lot going on at the moment, look, this is just going to help you there because there's going to be plenty of hoops. But
we don't even
change.
Know where the hoops are or what there. I think it's good to go
hula hoops. Maybe
it's good to go to something like that though and get across it. Anything else coming up?
And also, they're just letting you know there's one of the business support clinics that's taking place Friday week at 10 o'clock. So contact the local enterprise office for more on that.
Do not go anywhere. We'll be back with a preview of this week's podcast after a break. Right, Chris, so who's coming up on this week's podcast? And I think your guest really talks to the diverse makeup of the business community and also to its great, and you often do it as well, recognising the positive impact those in the arts have, not just in terms of contribution, but often marketing and offering a different sort of a product for those in and visiting the county. Go ahead, Chris.
Yes, the... guest on Business Matters this week. I've been speaking with Jacinta Callaghan in Kerrykeel. Now, from a young age, she was interested in art and also hairdressing, a very creative mind. And at just 16 years old, she left Donegal and went up to Dublin to train with Peter Mark Hairdressers, one of the biggest names in hairdressing in the country. So that was a big step, just 16 years old. And in the podcast, she talks about how her rent in Dublin, even in those days, was actually more than what she was getting back as her training allowance, and she had a part-time job. So an innovative person, obviously. Then she had some further training in John Paul's in Derry, came back to Kerrykeel and set up her own hair salon at the age of 20. Fast forward to more recent times, and when COVID struck, the hair salon had to close its doors because of the restrictions, and she had more time in her hands. And that really developed the whole seed for a new business venture. And she really began, obviously a talented artist, to push things on that side. She displayed then when the salon reopened some of her works. The work started to sell and blah, it just moved on. And now she's doing her paintings, and you can also get them, there's prints available, you can get them on slates and cushions and mugs and keyrings and lots of things. Many of her works are well-known local areas in Donegal, the likes of Fanad Lighthouse and Bakees in Remelton and various beaches. So we've a number of clips, we've a couple of clips here. And one of the things I thought interesting, Greg, you know, if you go into an art gallery and you see a painting and it's, let's just say it's €700, and some people think, well, that might be quite a lot. But, and as she explains here, you know, there's an awful lot of time can go into this. You're not being paid by the hour like you are in something else. And even the cost of the raw materials can be pretty high as well. And then the whole preparation. So as like so many things, a lot more than meets the eye.
I start from scratch. I go and I buy my own boards, first of all, and then I get my husband to cut them down into different sizes, and then I sand them all down, and then prime them, and then I paint over them, and then I paint over them again. So it's not, it's a lot of preparation before you even start to paint on the board. And then the paints are expensive, and the brushes, you just can't keep the same brushes for years. You have to change the brushes over. So between buying brushes and paint brushes and primer, and it's all extra, you know, people would look at a painting and think, oh, that's at that price. But it's, and as well as that, you have to think about how many hours you sat doing the painting. If somebody's working, they're paid per hour. Like, an artist isn't really paid per hour, you know.
Yeah, interesting insight, Chris.
Yeah, and her business, like many, because she has a digital presence, she's getting orders in from all over the world. And so it's the unpredictability of the whole thing. Like, she could get 4 orders today, and then there's nothing for a few days. But she's found quite a lot of her work makes ideal Christmas presents, a lot of the paintings, and then gifts, and then tourists coming to the county as well. So things are going good. She still has a hair salon that's open on a couple of days of the week as well. So combining it all, a busy woman. And last year, Greg, she had the honour of being commissioned by Donegal County Council to do a painting for Thomas O'Neill, the son of the late Tip O'Neill. And that was part of the 2024 Tip O'Neill Irish Diaspora Awards, and she also spoke to me about that.
Recently, I was truly honoured to be commissioned to create a painting for Tip O'Neill, the Irish Diaspora Awards, which is presented to Thomas O'Neill. He's the son of Philip Tip O'Neill. That was a very proud moment for me, because it was an honour, because I couldn't believe it, that the Donegal Council asked me to do this commission. It was just unbelievable. So that happened there in September, over in the National Gateways in Brochana. And I actually emailed Thomas O'Neill and emailed me back, and he was delighted with the painting. So.
And tell us about the painting itself.
Yeah, well, the painting itself, like that, I had to go over to Brochana, and I had to go to get my camera and walk up through the fields. And his house is kind of outside Brochana, and it's just the remains of his house, just a little bit of rubble. And then you have the trees across from it. So it was an interesting picture to paint. So I'm delighted with that. As I say, it was a real, real honour to get that far to, you know, do that painting.
Yeah, indeed. Sorry, Chris, I'm not finished speaking here for a moment. I was going to say that followed on into a busier, because I think Jacinta then hosted her first solo art exhibition in Letterkenny too, which is, I'd say, a great lift for any artist as well, to put your stuff out there. So it's going from strength to strength. And she's also a hairdresser at the same time. Mm. I'm thinking, you know, Ashley needs to pull a finger out a little bit, because Jacinta's very busy.
Yeah, now it's a very interesting story. Just touching on the Factor First solo exhibition, which was in the Regional Cultural Centre in Letterkenny, she found it very interesting. She didn't do the Leaving Cert herself, but now one of the groups coming into the exhibition was, I think it was Finn Valley College, and a group of students coming in, and that was part of their whole Leaving Cert studies that they were coming into an exhibition. And she found that particularly engaging, talking to the students who were finding out from her, course, you know, yeah, just how she had become an artist. So
brilliant.
She's going from strength to strength.
Have you hit publish yet?
Yes.
Okay, that way, that podcast is available for you right now to listen to on our website, highlandradio.com. It's at the top of the page, yeah, but we'll filter down. It's always there for you, as are all the previous episodes in the podcast on demand listen back section. And it's available for you to listen live after the 6 o'clock news on Sunday, proving very popular as a scheduled show as well. Chris, if anyone wants to get in contact with you, how might they do so?
The easiest way is by email. So it's businessmatters@highlandradio.com.
Mayhug or Mayhugut, Slán. Thank you very much indeed. Chris Ashmore, presenter of Business Matters. Okay, just want to give you a chance to win, because who wants to see the Saw Doctors live in Letterkenny this August the 16th and party at Summer Night with Jack Jones, Finn Curran, Kimmick and Levy Herron? Levi Heron on August 15th. Well, we've got two sets of tickets up for grabs, and that means two winners. It's all happening at Summer Sessions, Letterkenny, from August 15th and 16th at the Big Top, right beside the Kiltoy Roundabout. Now, this festival has it all over two weekends. You can expect brilliant live music from Picture This, they're amazing, Human League, Hello Memories, The Undertones, I'd have a bit of that, Nick Kershaw, is he still about, and many more. Full details at summer-sessions.ie. Now, to be in with a chance of winning, just head over to our social media pages and follow the steps. Winners announced Sunday, 10th of August, and please be aware, and really, really be aware of this. Highland Radio will never ask you to click on any links or provide personal details to enter or claim your prize. So there are scammers, and all they do is go around trying to ruin other people's fun. It'll be very clear. We'll contact you through proper channels to tell you that you've won. And it doesn't cost you a thing. Just go onto our socials and do what you're instructed to do. And there you go. You could be going to see some of those amazing acts. And if not, I'm not sure how many tickets are available for all the gigs, but check out summer-sessions.ie because it's great to see big acts right on our doorsteps. And that's where we leave it for today. We'll be back with you tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Stay safe, though, and stay tuned, because Donna Marie Doherty's around the Northwest next.